You know, there was one line in that video. It says, though we are far from perfect, you are perfecting us. You know, the older I get, I am realizing that more and more, especially around the holidays, around Thanksgiving and Christmas. If I'm not careful, I can kind of be a bit of a perfectionist, you know. And those of you who are wired like that, you know that that can kind of generate anxiety, because there is no such thing as perfection this side of heaven. And I'm learning more and more to kind of let that go, because, you know, one of the things that we can easily do around the holidays is we can try to stage the perfect Thanksgiving or the perfect Christmas. Is this kind of ringing a bell with anybody? And have you ever had a perfect Thanksgiving or a perfect Christmas? They're wonderful ones, and you know, and this is great, but never is there a time when absolutely everything goes perfectly or everybody behaves perfectly when we all get together and those kinds of things. That's just not something that is a reality. So I'm trying to let that go more and more the older I get, and just kind of take what God gives me and enjoy it. And so as we continue our focus on Thanksgiving this week, I want to encourage you to do the same. I'm going to share a story that I don't have permission to share, that somebody told me right before the service, and I usually get in trouble with this, but I'll take my scolding because it's a good one. Joan Foltz was telling me a story. Good, Rick's laughing. He's not going to be offended. Where's Joan? Where is Joan? Is she okay? All right. Is this okay? Can I tell you about your imperfect Thanksgiving? Okay. And I got a feeling Joan likes it a certain way too. She's probably wired like me. Joan was telling me they were having some folks over for Thanksgiving, and she had gotten all the cooking done. And what was that thing you made? You said you made a little turkey thing or something. An hors d'oeuvre that looked like a turkey. Okay, now if you're doing that, you're serious about this thing. So Joan's got turkey hors d'oeuvres. I don't know what they really were, but did they taste like turkey or just look like turkey? Oh, a little water, a fruit turkey. Beautiful, beautiful. That's awesome. So Joan's getting all that done. Man, she's got the turkey, everything's ready, and she's getting ready to go. So people are going to be there in about 45 minutes. So she jumps in the shower. She said, get ready. Well, she had gone into, I can't think it was a laundry room or something, and turned she's got a wash sink in there, and had turned the water on in the wash sink, you know, to clean that out before she went to the shower and forgot she had turned it on. And the sink was stopped, you know, had the stoppers in it. And so when she heard Rick screaming, you know, when there's 2 inches of water on their hardwoods and, you know, moving into the whole house, you know, she comes back in. And I love what Rick said when I was asking him about it. He says, you know, it's not what happens to you in life, it's how you react to it. And Rick said, and I must say, we reacted pretty well. So, but that is so true. But those kinds of things are like holiday ending, joy stealing endeavors. I mean, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, everything was going so well. But you know, God calls us to be thankful, to be joyful. You remember last week? In all circumstances. And there is no such thing as perfection, whether it's in our lives day to day or whether it's, you know, during a holiday. 1 Thessalonians 5, it's the verse, we looked at the tail end of it last week, but Paul says this, and I've been reflecting on this as I'm learning to embrace imperfection. And I want to encourage you all to do that as well. Paul says, be joyful always, always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And, you know, I just love what we talked about last week. You know, folks are, it's a challenge to lock into God's will. I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what God's purpose is for my life. Paul says, start there. Be thankful in all things. Be joyful in all things. Have an open heart. Have an open hand and live that way, and you will be living into God's will for your life. We try to make it into rocket science, and it's really not. God says, be always pursuing Christ's likeness, and you will be smack dab in the center of my will. You know, since we've got kind of an intimate crowd this morning and we set up in the round for that purpose, we're going to do something, and I want to give you a little heads up here. Before we approach the Lord's table and before we thank God for all that Christ has done for us, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity just to share just with the family here what you're thankful for. This year, reflecting back on 2017 and all that God has done, or the challenges that you have faced and are maybe still facing, and the fact that God has given you the capacity to keep getting up every morning and facing those challenges. But I want to give you an opportunity just to say thank you to Him in the context of the entire family here this morning. Nobody's put on the spot. Don't worry about that. I know some of you are like, oh, you know, I hate it when they do that. But this is a great opportunity just to share as a family and to give God glory and thanks. And so I'm telling you that right now so that you can kind of be thinking about that as I share a few more things. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Lord's Supper, and we had the Lord's Supper here on the day that Matt and Caroline were baptized. Awesome day. And here we are again, gathered around the Lord's table once again. 2 weeks ago, we talked about this meal being a meal to remember, a meal to reflect on the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And so on this Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to shift gears and look at it from a bit of a different angle, if you will. We're going to approach this table as a table of gratitude today, which essentially is what Jesus established it as, a table of gratitude, as an opportunity to thank God, as Paul said, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in, an opportunity really to embrace the imperfection this side of heaven, and to thank God even in the midst of the imperfection in our lives, the imperfection in the lives of those close to us, that we might extend grace not only to ourselves, but that we might be those who extend His grace to one another. And so Jesus established this table as an opportunity to reflect and remember His broken body and shed blood, but also as an opportunity to give thanks to all that God has done for us in Christ. And really, when we talk about embracing imperfection, isn't that what Jesus has done for us? I mean, isn't that the heart of what Jesus has done for us? Embracing the imperfection of who I am. Embracing unconditionally the imperfection of who you are. And wrapping His arms around us and loving us anyway. Loving us to the point of giving His life, sacrificing His life on the cross that our imperfections might be forgiven. And as the Scripture says, cast as far away from us as the east is from the west. And when you think about it, that is why Jesus came. To embrace us in our imperfection, because of our imperfection, that we might be and we might become the righteousness of God. And so, man, we need to do that for ourselves. We need to extend ourselves that grace, and we need to extend one another that same grace. Embracing the imperfection. And I think most especially this time of year, especially with Christmas coming up, and you know, just given the announcements this morning and thinking about all the different things, the good things that we're doing here at the church, but they keep us busy. And they can bring stress into our lives when it's coupled with everything else that is going on at the holidays. But I just wanted to convey to you today, and it's what I'm trying to do in my own life, is embracing that imperfection and then dropping my expectations. Dropping my expectations. Conflict occurs most often and for the reason of our expectations not being met. And when we set the bar up here for the holidays, when we have these great expectations of the perfect Christmas or the perfect house or Joan, the perfect Thanksgiving meal, you know, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. And man, I'm working on dropping my expectations, not really of myself so much, because I do expect a great deal of myself, but dropping my expectations of those around me and just embracing the imperfection of it all. And I think it's so important for us to do that. You know, over the years in Christian tradition, the Lord's Supper and what we do here today is referred to in a variety of different ways. We hear the Lord's Supper referred to as communion. I know you're familiar with that. How many of you have heard this table referred to as the Eucharist? Is anybody familiar with that term? Yeah, so the Lord's Supper, communion, the Eucharist, all the same thing, different terms for us gathering around this table as Jesus has commanded us to do so. The word communion literally means the act of sharing together as a community. Okay, that's what the word literally means, the act of sharing together as a community. And that's what Christ intended for us to do as His community when we come to this table to share together. So what we do here this morning is not an independent endeavor. This is not just a you and God kind of thing. This is an examining our heart before God kind of thing, but it's also a community thing where we come together as the family of Christ and as the body of Christ to acknowledge His death, burial, and resurrection for our sin together. And then the word Eucharist. It's an interesting word, eukaro. The karo or the kara in Greek literally means grace. It's the word for grace. And so the word Eucharist literally means the act of giving thanks, an act of giving gratitude. And so what we really have at this table here is a table of gratitude that Jesus has initiated for those who would follow Him. Listen to, if you've got your Bibles, listen and read along with me, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. This is the evening before Jesus is crucified. It is the night of His arrest in the garden. And Matthew is recounting the inaugural Lord's Supper that instituted this tradition in the church today. And he speaks of Jesus and His disciples reclined around the Passover meal in the upper room. And in verse 26, Matthew says this. He says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and then what did He do? He gave thanks." He gave thanks. Don't miss that. "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is My body.' And then He took the cup, and He gave thanks once again, and He offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.' He says, 'I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in My Father's kingdom.'" And that would be at the wedding feast of the Lamb. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and shortly thereafter Jesus would be arrested. He would suffer, and ultimately He would be crucified as a substitute for us on the cross. And so Jesus sets us a pattern here in this recount of Matthew. And the pattern is this, that thanksgiving should always precede communion. Thanksgiving should always precede communion. Jesus takes the bread, he gives thanks, then he breaks it, and then he says to his disciples, take and eat. And so thanksgiving, us being thankful and grateful to all that God's poured into our lives, should always precede our approach to this table. And so as we come today to partake in the Lord's Supper, we approach it with gratitude, with gratitude. And, you know, me personally, I'm thankful for the blessing of my family. I'm thankful for Kim and just the gift that she is to me. I'm thankful for my kids, especially this one who's about to graduate from college and get off the payroll. So that's always a good thing. Some of you are saying amen in your hearts. You know how that goes. I'm just thankful for so much. The joy that family brings into my life, not just Kim and the kids and mom, but you all, as the family of Christ here at Tapestry. I'm thankful for this church and all that God has done and continues to do through this amazing small group of people. I'm thankful for your generosity. I'm thankful for your willingness to give sacrificially and to serve sacrificially for the sake of God's kingdom. I'm thankful that God has placed us here together as a community to glorify Him. And so I've given you maybe 10 minutes to think about what you're thankful for, okay? And again, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but as the Spirit would move you, if you'd like to share before we come with grateful hearts to the Lord's table, if you'd like to share something you're thankful for this Sunday after Thanksgiving, I would encourage you to do that.